sanctuary. Hebrews 11, I'm going to read for you verses 29 through 40. And by the grace of God, we're going to attempt to cover that entire section. Hebrews 11, 29 through 40. Please follow as I read aloud for you. And this is God's holy word. For by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign enemies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Hebrews 11, 29 through 40. Again, this is God's wonderful and holy word. Let's bow and pray together. Father, thank you for this time in your word today. We're praying for a powerful moving of the Spirit of God in some to draw them to Christ and others to grow and strengthen them in Christ. Oh Lord, have your way in us now. May your word not return to you void, but may it accomplish every purpose that you intend for it. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. Amen. Many possible titles for this sermon, but here's the title taken right out of the text, Of Whom the World Was Not Worthy. Great little part of a verse. Of whom the world was not worthy. So Hebrews 11, as you'll know, is a catalog. It's a running list of great men and women of faith. It actually starts in Genesis 1:1, and it just works through Genesis a little, works through Exodus a little, and goes down through time. And today, we're going to finish up all the way down at, let's say, David. Might be the, or no, Jeremiah and Isaiah and others are considered in these verses. So why is the author to the Hebrews citing all of these? Well, he's going to tell us in chapter 12. Chapter 12 will be the application, what he intended by all of this. But just peeking ahead, here's what he wants to do in you. Here's what he wants to do in me through these things we're looking at today. He wants to strengthen your resolve to remain faithful to Jesus Christ. It's that simple. He wants you to keep on following, keep on believing. He wants you to persevere, perseverance of the saints. That's what he wants. And he's giving you examples, examples that we're told elsewhere are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the age have come, that we might be like them. So he's trying to engender in you strong, robust belief in God's word, belief in salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. He's trying to fix your feet in stone as you stand upon the things in the word of God. Let's pick it up at verse 29 then. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Hebrews 11, 29. So be like them. It's not just interesting history. Oh, I see they did that. No, the point is, so you be like them. By faith, you follow Jesus Christ where he takes you. But these people, by faith, crossed the Red Sea. Where you go back and read Exodus, how do we know they did that by faith? Well, they did it believing that God had spoken to Moses, and they did it believing that what Moses told them to do was God speaking to them. They believed that they're going to be okay walking through the Red Sea when it parted like that. They believed that the Egyptians would not be okay. They were believing what God had revealed and believing they acted upon it. God spoke to Moses. They believed the word of God as it came through Moses. God told us to do something. We are doing the thing God told us to do. All of that is by faith. And he's saying, so you'll have things to do as a believer that you must trust God, believe him, take him at his word, do it by faith. Resolve to be men and women of robust faith. Let's go on to verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Where does he get that? The text doesn't say they fell down by faith, but it was by faith because what happened? God told Joshua what the people had to do. Joshua told the people what to do. They had to believe that God had actually told Joshua these things. They had to believe the methodology that Joshua gave them, which was, humanly speaking, kind of ridiculous. Here we are, we're soldiers, we're at war, we're coming up against an armed enemy, we're coming up to take their city. And what did God tell them to do? I'm going to read it for you. It's not going on the screen. Just follow Joshua 6, 1 through 7. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, the people took this by faith. See, I have given Jericho into your hand. They accepted that by faith. With its king and mighty men of valor. Here's the methodology. They accepted it by faith. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. March around the city. March. How are we going to take the city? March around it. March around it another day. March around it another day. Thus you shall do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. There's your methodology. They believed. This is God's word to us. Joshua is a prophet. He's given us the word of God. We believe Joshua. We believe the word of God. We will accept the, humanly speaking, ridiculous, foolish methodology. Verse 6, so Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, go forward, march around the city and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord. God said it. It sounded ridiculous. They believed and they did it. Be like them. Sometimes God says things in his word that, humanly speaking, don't sound right. But you have to accept them. This is the will of God. What the Bible is telling me to do here might look like a hard thing. Might look like it's going to make my life worse, not better. But it's in the word of God. So I'm going to, by faith, follow what this says. I'm going to do what the word says. Let me give you an example. God's word is telling you don't have grounds for a divorce. Stay in that marriage. Acquire the skills that will make it better and make it better. Because God has not given you permission to go out. God has not given you permission for a divorce. You can say, well, that doesn't seem right. If I stay in this marriage, it's going to make my life worse, and it might be hard. We feel you. But you commit to, well, this is the will of God. I believe it. I don't have biblical grounds for a divorce, so I'm going to stay in this, I'm going to work on it, I'm going to pray for it, I'm going to get counsel, I'm going to get help, I'm going to do the things that try to bring glory to God and blessing to us in this marriage. Just one example. There are things that come to us in the Word that seem like, oh, that's going to make my life more difficult, and it might. But you say, but it is the Word of God, and I'm here to do the Word of God to the glory of Jesus Christ. So as we follow Christ, there will be things that don't make sense, that don't seem right, but we have to take God at his word. I'll give you another example. Romans 13 tells you to pay taxes to the government. How many of you are happy about that? How many of you think the government's taking a little bit much these days? Anybody think that? Am I the only one? Yeah. How many of you are entirely happy with what the government's doing with your dollars? How many grumble when you have to send off that check? I pay in quarterly. How many of you grumble when you... But Romans 13 tells you. And Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render unto God the things that are God's. And so you say, this doesn't make sense. I feel like they're stealing my money, but I'm going to send it off. because I'm obeying the word of God. I'm doing the will of God from the heart. You're being like the people who believed God's word. Hey, how are we going to take the city? Well, let's march around it and shout. Let's march around it and blow horns like mighty soldiers that we are. How about when the Bible says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the other things you need will be added to you. What? I'm just supposed to believe him that if I spend my heart's energies on seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, he'll provide for me the things that I need? Yes, that's exactly what you're supposed to believe. And you're supposed to act on that. So we watch you, and you are a person who's seeking first the kingdom of God and the glory of the Lord. And you're trusting God to provide you with your necessities, food, a roof over your head, water, basic necessities of life by faith. Here's a great, the next verse, Hebrews 11:31. Great example. By faith, Rahab. Yeah, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Rahab, this is in Joshua chapter 2. Joshua sent some spies into the land. We're supposed to go take the land. Let's send some spies in. They can bring us a report, tell us what it's like. She received the spies and hid them and let them out through a window and sent them out another and told the guys they went that away when they went this away. She even told what should I call this? Is that a holy lie? She deceived them and put them off the scent and off the right path. And she's extolled as a woman of faith, even Rahab, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Rahab, a woman of faith. She had three strikes against her in that culture. One of them was she's a woman. Second thing in that day, she was a Gentile. And third thing was she was a woman of ill repute. And God chose her, he gave her faith so that she received the message, these people are from God, these people are going to take our city, you must obey God rather than your leaders and so on and so forth. And she believed and it was reckoned unto her for righteousness. And she is held up here and she is held up in James, I believe it's chapter 2, as a model of a faith that works. Rahab, be like Rahab. When God's word comes to me, I'll believe it and I'll obey it. Hebrews 11:32. And what more shall I say? He's got a lot of Old Testament left to cover, folks. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah. They're all in the book of Judges. Of David and Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. And the prophets, all down through the rest of the Old Testament. Hebrews 11:32. What more shall I say? He's running out of time. Thinking about all the people he could talk about, men and women of faith in the Old Testament. He's running out of parchment to write it all on. He's running out of time and parchment. But go back and read your entire Old Testament. Read about every one of them. They were men and women of faith, these people. Look at their stories. They believed the words that came from God and acted upon them. They built their lives upon the rock, and that rock was Christ. They had faith. And they had its fruits. Be like them. They're described further in Hebrews 11:33, who through faith conquered kingdoms. Now we're in Judges chapters 4 and 5. Barak conquered Sisera. Then Judges 6 through 8. Gideon beat Midian with a tiny army. And Jephthah beat the Ammonites and Samson the Philistines by faith because God told them to. God said, I've given them into your hand. It didn't look right. It looked scary. They believed and they acted, risking their lives, but trusting God. It goes on. They enforced justice once they conquered a city, once they conquered a king, once they conquered an area. They instituted laws, just laws, by faith, believing God's laws are good for people. They still are, by the way. Reading on, they obtained promises. That's Barak and Gideon and Samson. They stopped the mouths of lions. Who did that? How many people, here's a quiz for you. How many people, Bible trivia quiz. How many people in the Old Testament stopped the mouths of lions? How many times did that happen? Three. I wouldn't have known that either if I hadn't studied it this week, all right? So Samson tore a lion apart with his bare hands, Judges 14, 6 and 7. Can you imagine that? A lion. That's like a 400-pound death machine. He tore it apart with his bare hands. How did he know he could do it? What made him think, oh, I can take this lion? By faith, because God had told him. Samson slew a lion, 1 Samuel 17, 34 to 36. Daniel's in the lion's den, and they didn't lay one paw. Their mouths were stopped. They didn't lay one paw upon them. Lions, death machines. This was superhuman. Humans can't do that. This was miraculous. This was God intervening in his providence. Be like them. I believe God's word. If God's word told me face the lion, I'd go face the lion. You might have some sort of lion in your life, and it's the will of God that you face that lion. Face the lion. Trust God. Keep your powder dry. You know that old phrase? Trust God uses means. Don't trust God and throw your gun away. Trust God and keep your powder dry. Because God uses means, but trust God. There's more about them. Hebrews 11, 34. They quenched the power of fire. Who did that? Three guys. There's a hint. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel chapter 3, thrown into the fiery furnace. Not one hair on their arms was burned. And it goes on, they escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. That's 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Judges, Israel in battle. Hebrews 11, 35, women received back their dead by resurrection. Who is that? Who's that? 1 Kings 17, Elijah raised the widow of Zarephath's son, and there's another one. 2 Kings 4, Elisha raises the Shunammite's son. Women received back their, how's it put it? Their dead, their children, by resurrection. So a long, long list of believing exploits. Look at what these people did. And all we're asking you to do is keep believing in the Lord Jesus and keep following him and be faithful to him and don't turn back. To accept the word of God as the word of God, to receive it into your soul, to act upon it where it calls you to act. That's all we're asking for. The author to the Hebrews, be like them. They did superhuman things. But now it gets even better. It gets more teeth. Because now he turns to those who actually suffered. See, up to this point, it's been victory, victory, victory. Now it's going to be suffering, suffering, suffering. He's going to turn to those who suffered for their faith. Why? Because these Hebrews were suffering for their faith. So he says, all right, let me come closer to home. Let me give you examples of people who suffered like you might suffer. Hebrews 11, 35b, some were tortured. They could have gotten out of it, but they refused to accept release. They could have said the words that they were told to say. They could have pledged their allegiance to whom they were supposed to pledge their allegiance. They refused. No, I'm going to remain faithful. Go ahead and kill me. I'm going to remain faithful. Go ahead and torture me. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release. These were real humans. Like you're a real human, they were real humans. On a day like today, and somebody said, admit that idolatry is wonderful or we're torturing you. No, I hate idols. Torture me. Somebody says, denounce the God of Israel. Accept these pagan deities. No, torture me, kill me. Okay, we will. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. They knew what I really want is heaven. And if they have to kill me on earth to get me to heaven, okay. What's the worst thing that could happen to you? They'll kill you. What's the best thing that could happen to you? They'll kill you. You'll be in heaven, in Christ. And so some people, real people like us, were tortured for their faith. He's probably referring to something that's extra biblical and the historical book known as the Book of Maccabees. We're in the 170s BC. It's not scripture, but it's Israel's history. And there was a leader, Eleazar, was tortured and killed during a season of persecution against the Jews in Judea. That persecution was ordered by King Antiochus Epiphanes. On that occasion, there were also a mother and seven brothers were tortured with whips. One brother, they cut out his tongue, scalped him, then cut off his hands, then cut off his feet. Still not done, they fried him in a pan. Others on that occasion and in that persecution were tortured and killed. 2 Maccabees 7. It's not scripture, but it is history. Hebrews 11:36. Others suffered mocking. Are you willing to be mocked for Christ? Or would a little mocking undo you? Can you stand up under the pressure of some mocking? You go to work, these people mock me. Your neighbors, they mock you. Somebody mocks you. Your kids, grown and gone, they don't like Christ. They mock you. You're not alone. Others suffered mocking and flogging. Flogging. Jesus was flogged. Seems so terrible. We hear about that every Christmas season. Sorry, not every Easter season. Wrong holiday. Can you imagine? They're about to flog you. All you have to do is say the words. They suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. Who? Many of the prophets. Jeremiah was beaten and put in stocks, Jeremiah chapter 20. He was chained and put in prison, Jeremiah chapter 37. For what crime? Faithful proclamation of the word of God. Prophesying faithfully that King Zedekiah will be defeated and killed by Nebuchadnezzar. All he had to do was say, nope, Israel's going to be fine. Your enemies can't hurt you. All he had to do was deny the word of God. All he had to do was proclaim falsehood. He could have relieved himself of the torture. But no, he stood as a man of faith. Reading on, Hebrews 11:37, they were stoned. Who was that? Zechariah was stoned. Jeremiah was stoned. They were sawn in two. Who was that? Well, it's not in the word of God. We're extra biblical literature here. But the Jewish Talmud tells us that that was the fate that killed Isaiah. Imagine that. You're alive. They take a big saw for sawing down trees, and they saw you in two. What did Isaiah have to do? Just deny the word of God. Just soften your stance a little, Isaiah. Come on, be reasonable. Say the words. He said, use your saw. I'm going to heaven. They were killed with the sword. Various ones were. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute. This means they were poor. They were poor for Christ. They were willing to be poor for God, poor for the gospel. Are you willing to be poor if it would require that of you to follow Christ faithfully? Just resolve in your heart right now. Lord, I hope this never happens. Don't wish for it. Don't wish for persecution. But Lord, if it comes our way, I'm willing to be poor for Christ. I'm willing to be in skins of sheep and goats. Sounds kind of cool. Afflicted, mistreated, I'm willing. Jeremiah, Zechariah, Isaiah, be like them. I'm willing to suffer for Jesus Christ if necessary. I'm willing to suffer for the word of God if necessary. If things dramatically change in our land, and you know they're incrementally changing against the faith, against Christians. But if things dramatically change and this kind of stuff was happening, real people like us would be called upon to stand. Just resolve right now that if that was you, if things turned during your lifetime, Lord, by the grace of God, give me strength. I want to stand. I want to be faithful to Jesus Christ. Two summary verses, and then we'll have time for lengthier than usual applications. Hebrews 11:39-40. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. They died waiting. They died in hope. They never got what they were really after. He wants the Hebrews to be willing to do that. They want it now. I want my best life now. He said, no, your best life comes then. You have to be willing to wait and suffer now. First the cross, then comes glory. They did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. They didn't get to go to the new heavens and the new earth till we go to the new heavens and the new earth. All that suffering, and they never even received their prize. They never received what they wanted on earth till he died. So they were flawed but faithful. All right. Thank you for following me through all of that. It's a long list of people. Some words of application. Two of them. Here's the first. Persevering faith, I hope you will notice, is not the same as sinless perfection. So these great Old Testament men and women are modeling perseverance for us. Perseverance of the saints. It gets rough, you keep on following Christ. It gets difficult, you keep on believing the gospel and the word of God. They mock you, they make you look silly, you stand with the truths of the word of God. So that's persevering. But persevering faith is not the same as sinless perfection. Not one of these people was sinlessly perfect. In fact, in Hebrews, he only presents the good they did. He omits all their folly and all of their sins. But if you go back and read the account, every one of them had folly, and every one of these great men and women of the faith had sins. He presents them at their best, trusting and believing, but they were very imperfect people, and this gives us hope. Barak is in the list. He was a man of faith. Yeah, but he became fearful of battle and wouldn't go out to battle when he was supposed to without Deborah, the judge, to encourage and support him. Or Gideon, he was a man of faith, but he became weak and asked God for signs to buttress his weak faith. That's where we get a fleece. He wanted his fleece to be wet, not wet. Gideon, he also made an ephod that led Israel to sin, Judges 8, 24 to 27. Barak and Gideon were men of faith. Their faith is extolled in Hebrews chapter 11. And yet when we go back and read about their lives, they were very imperfect, very flawed, sometimes sinning individuals. To be a man and woman of faith does not at all mean that you need to be sinless. You can't till then. And your name could perhaps, even with your sins, your name perhaps could be in such a list as this, because in spite of your sins and in spite of your folly and in spite of your flaws, you do love the Lord Jesus. And you are faithful to him and his word and the gospel. And that's what God's looking for. God's not expecting you to be sinless now. He'll make you sinless later. But God is expecting you and calling you to be faithful now. Samson is in the list. A man of faith. What else do you know about Samson? Well, there was this woman named Delilah. And he had serious infidelities going on with Delilah, and he had other impulsive acts, Judges 13 to 16. And yet Samson is a man of faith. You can be a real, solid, sturdy man or woman of faith, though you have folly, though you have flaws, though you sometimes fall into sins and transgressions. How about Samuel? It's hard to find anything wrong in Samuel. But Samuel's sons didn't turn out too well, and he appointed them as judges anyway. Bad move, Samuel. Making a bad move like that is not inconsistent with being a strong man of faith. This ought to give us some hope. The point is, they all had flaws. What about David? David's in the list. What do we know about David? There was that woman. I'm repeating myself. There was that woman. What was her name? Bathsheba. And then her husband, Uriah, that noble man, killed in battle, put him in the hot place so they can mow him down. David sinned dramatically. Yet David is held up as a man who had a heart that was after the true and living God. David is held up as a man of solid faith. David never wavered in his belief. He just failed and fell into sin. So the overall reckoning of their lives is that they were men and women of exemplary faith, and yet when we go back and read the details, they were also sinners, saved by grace. And I say it again, this should give you hope. Man, this gives me hope. That a man like me, that a woman like you, could be counted as robust in faith, yes. You could perhaps be in this list. So the point of these people's lives is not, here's examples of how to be sinless. They weren't. But here's how to keep on following Christ. Here's how to keep on obeying God's word by grace through faith in Christ alone. So you're not going to be sinless, but you sure can keep on. You sure can stand. So stand. Resolve, O Lord, if they threaten to slay me, I'm going to name the name of Christ. Stand. So that's the first point I want to make in closing. Persevering faith is not the same as sinless perfection. Here's the second one I want to make. Good opportunity to make it, too. They, the ones who got persecuted, tortured, they chose prophetic proclamation. Maybe I should have put the word faithful in there. They chose faithful prophetic proclamation over cultural accommodation. They could have avoided the sword. They could have avoided the fiery furnace. They could have avoided the mouth of the lion. They could have avoided being sawn in two. All they had to do was be reasonable. All they had to do was tone it down a bit. Come on, Isaiah. You're a little edgy there, buddy. Just tone it down a little bit. Get along. Jeremiah, it's your tone. The tone police. You need some rebranding, Jeremiah. Play this down a little bit. Play this part up a little bit. You'll find your way. Isaiah was sawn in two. Well, Isaiah, that's on you. You should have known better. You should have been more accommodating. You should have figured out how to make the things of God look desirable to people who aren't the people of God. You should have figured out how to rebrand it, how to refashion it, how to represent it so that they'll say, oh, we like you, Isaiah. Oh, we like you, Daniel. You're a reasonable prophet of God. But they refused. They would have rebuked this kind of cultural accommodation, and we should be like them. They could have so engineered things that they would have won favor. They would have cultivated favor with the cultural elites and the powerful people of their day. And some would argue, you know, that's important biblical methodology. How are we going to win them to Christ if they think we're stupid? By the grace of God, the Word of God, in the power of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't need us to be. We don't need to be respected by cultural elites. Our goal, our method is never to massage the truth and make it taste good to them. Our goal, our method is to present it plainly, clearly, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to win them by accommodating to them. And we don't win them by becoming something they'll like and respect. God doesn't need us to do that, and they don't need us to do that. The gospel is the power of God, Romans 1:16. So that's what we need. We need to stand up and be counted as radicals for Christ. Radicals for truth. Radicals for the Word of God. That's radical. To stand courageously against accommodation to the ugly world spirit of our day, to the spirit of the age. We believe something about our age. We believe that the whole world lies under the evil one, right? We believe there's spiritual warfare going on in high, high places, right? The Bible tells us that. And the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, and the weapons of our warfare don't include accommodate and make them think you're reasonable. No, I want to stick to God's word, and if that makes me appear unreasonable, so be it. If that gets me mocked, so be it. If that gets me sawn in two, so be it. They chose prophetic proclamation over cultural accommodation. May you do the same. May we do the same. I want to close by peeking into Hebrews chapter 12. All of chapter 11 is the backup for Hebrews chapter 12, which, Lord willing, we'll start into next week. But let me read you the first couple of verses in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, who is the cloud of witnesses? All the people in Hebrews 11. Not all the saints who are around you today. No, the cloud of witnesses, the one he just took us through, great men and women of faith. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So that's the beginning of his application. You want to know why I told you all that in Hebrews 11? Because here's what I want you to be. Run with endurance. Run with patience, looking unto Jesus, who suffered and is exalted. And then he's going to go ahead and unpack that in the rest of chapter 12. So that's next week, Lord willing. All right, Cornerstone people, let's be like the prophets of old. Let's be like Rahab. Let's be like David. Let's be faithful as individuals and as a church to the glory of God. Bow with me and let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time and your holy word today. We're asking that you would make us men and women of robust biblical faith, that we receive this book as your holy word, that we believe it, all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we seek to obey it to your glory. We pray, Father, for the salvation of the little ones who are downstairs and upstairs today, of our boys and girls. Have mercy upon them, Father, we pray, and draw them to Jesus Christ at an early age, and may they never turn away, may they never forsake him, may they follow him till their dying day. Father, we pray that we would do that also. Give us robust, strong faith, that we would believe you and act upon your word, even in the difficult parts of life. Again, we ask that you would have your way in us, you would accomplish your purposes in us, do with us as you would, only that you would be glorified, that Christ would be lifted up. We pray for all in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.